I'm going to call to order a regular meeting of the Gilbert Beach City Council for Monday, May 2nd, 2011. Would you all please stand with us and have a moment of silence for a loved one that has recently passed, and then remain standing as we do our flag salute this evening. Thank you. One of our favorite parts of the meeting is the flag salute. We have the youth from our local schools involved, and they come down and lead us in the flag salute. So tonight, our flag salute will be led by Brandon Ward. Brandon is 12 years old and a sixth grade student at Fairgrove Elementary. He likes learning about history in his social studies class, particularly Egypt and ancient Greece. And he also likes learning how to care for plants and see them grow in his science class. Brandon likes going to the beach to look for shells with his grandpa and watch the seagulls. And whenever his grandmother visits, he loves going to see the monarch butterflies. In high school, Brandon would like to pursue studying more about how to fix computers like his dad.
Nice job.
And when he grows up, he wants to join the Army and fight for his country. Quite a young man. Brandon likes playing with his dog Ruby, his friends in the neighborhood, and video games. And he is accompanied this evening, I believe, by his parents and grandparents, correct? Nice. So, Brandon, now you know if the principal or principal is the one with you.
No, she's not.
Great. But Christy, one of the teachers is here. Brandon, all yours.
Ready, salute. Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And Brandon, we have something for you. So why don't you come on up? You're not shy, are you? So, Christy, if you want to come closer, feel free. So, Brandon. Keep up the good work, Dad and Mom.
And Grandpa.
And Grandpa. Okay, Donald, you ready? Roll call.
Here.
Here.
Here. Mayor Pro Tem Nichols.
Here.
And Mayor Schultz.
Here. Thank you, Donna. Let's do our agenda review. This is where the council reviews the agenda and decides if we want to go forward as presented by staff or make any changes to the agenda. Do any members of the council want to change the? Yes.
Mayor, thank you. Honorable Mayor, council members, staff would request that item 2 in the closed session be taken off the agenda.
Okay, let's find that. Okay. So item 2 has from closed session has been taken off. Are there any other changes to the agenda?
I'll make a motion that we accept the agenda as presented with the exception of item 2 under closed session.
I'll second that.
Very good. There's no additional discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? None. Motion carries. So let's proceed. We have a ceremonial calendar this evening. This is item number 1. And this is drawing to select our monthly winners of the local economic stimulus program, Shop Local, Shop Loyal. Ms. Chapman.
Honorable Mayor and City Council and members of our audience, tonight we are going to draw 10 winners for our Shop and Dine in Grover Beach program. Please continue to shop in Grover Beach. This is to try to encourage everyone to shop in Grover Beach. All you have to do is collect 10 stickers on the back of a card, put it in for the drawing, and we will do 10 winners once each month.
So very good.
Our first winner is Paul P E T T E R. I think it's H K A.
All right then.
Our second winner is Michelle Reed.
Wait, two of them?
Please. Stephen Garcia is our third winner. Our fourth winner is Leah Kett.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I didn't do it on purpose.
Our seventh winner is Debbie Peterson.
You're kidding! It wasn't intentional. I had last time I spoke to someone who said you need to shuffle them up more, so I was shuffling them. Oh dear.
Our eighth winner is Debbie Peterson.
No. Oh, there's no way.
You picked it.
I only think I have three in there.
Did you guys zoom in on her nameplate?
Our ninth winner is Lori Kessler.
Thank goodness it wasn't me.
I've got one in there somewhere.
I didn't do any last month.
And our tenth winner is Francis Acosta. Wow. Thank you, everyone, for participating.
That was scary.
So the good news is now that there's no more Debbie Peterson in the jar. Next week you got a next month you have
a
much
chance.
Better chance, right?
Boy.
Wow.
Wow. What are the odds?
Dripping with irony. All right, let's move on to item number two on our agenda, and this is a proclamation declaring May 2011 as National Tourism Month. Councilmember Peterson.
Whereas travel is at the heart of America's economic and national security, one of America's largest service exports, creating a travel trade surplus in excess of $22 billion, and one of the nation's largest employers, accounting for more than 7.1 million direct travel-generated jobs, or one in every eight U.S. non-farm jobs, and whereas including the direct spending in the U.S. by the domestic and international visitors, travel and tourism generated $704 billion last year, providing $113 billion tax revenue to local, state, and federal governments. And whereas the travel industry supports the interests of communities located in San Luis Obispo County, contributing to our employment, economic prosperity, peace, understanding, and goodwill, and the travel industry ranks as the largest industry in San Luis Obispo County in terms of revenue generated, and whereas 2.3 million visitors visited San Luis Obispo County, contributing $1 million to the economy in the county, and whereas the Sunset Savor the Central Coast event will take place September 29th through October 2nd, 2011, throughout San Luis Obispo County, highlighting the beauty and bounty of our region to visitors and locals alike, leaving behind an economic impact of several million dollars, and contributing to the economic, social, and cultural well-being of the citizens of San Luis Obispo County. Now, therefore, it be resolved that the City Council of...
Whereas bicycle commuting is an effective means to reduce air pollution and conserve energy and promotes the livability of communities by reducing traffic noise and congestion, and whereas Change Lanes is the theme for 2011, an inclusive request of people of all ages and abilities, whether veteran or novice, commuter or recreational rider, to ride bicycles to their destinations throughout San Luis Obispo County, and whereas rideshare will help businesses, organizations, and schools encourage and reward customers, students, and employees who commute by bicycle through incentives, awards, lockers, and other benefits, and whereas bicycle transportation is an integral part of the multimodal transportation system planned by federal, state, regional, and local transportation agencies, and whereas Bike Month promotes such as Bike to Work and School Week, and the Commuter Bike Challenge encourages citizens to ride their bicycles, thereby reducing vehicular emissions in the county. And whereas the Executive Challenge creates a forum for leaders, business executives, management directors, city council members, mayors, and the Board of Supervisors to use active transportation and lead by example on Wednesday, May 18th. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the City Council of the City of Grover Beach does hereby proclaim May 2011 as Bike Month and May 16 to May 20, 2011 as Bike to Work and School Week. Hmm.
Great. Thank you, Councilmember Bryden. I don't see Ms. Greer. So she's still lost. I don't think she's made it the last time.
She's on her bike.
Someone please follow up with ride share.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Yes, please follow up. I think they know my feelings on that. So someone should have been here. Okay, moving to our final proclamation this evening. This is a proclamation declaring May and June as National Military Appreciation Months. Phyllis, Councilmember Monar.
Thank you. Whereas the freedom and security that citizens of the United States enjoy today are direct results of the bloodshed and continued vigilance given by the United States Armed Forces over the history of our great nation. And whereas the sacrifices of such members of the United States Armed Forces and of the family members that support them have preserved the liberties that have enriched this nation, making it unique in the world community. And whereas the United States Congress in 2004 passed a resolution proclaiming May as National Appreciation Month, calling all Americans to remember those who gave their lives in Defeat Day, Army Day, and Flag Day. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the City Council of the City of Grover Beach does hereby proclaim May and June 2011 as National Military Appreciation Months, and the period of May 1st, 2011 through June 14th, 2011 as a special time to show appreciation for our military in the City of Grover Beach. And
you want me to read? So, and receiving the proclamation is Gene Mankins Mollenkopf, Regent, and then Captain Henry Schweitzer, Chapter, Daughters of the American Revolution.
I'm proud to accept this proclamation to Daughters of American Revolution. God bless to me.
Thank you.
Oh, yes, thank you. I'd also like to thank everyone here in the audience tonight. But I'd also like to thank my son, who is here this evening, Thomas Molnar. He's on leave. He's a U.S. Navy hospital corpsman, and he will soon be detached to a Marine base, 29 Palms, in which he will be with the artillery, and he will be on deployment. So I'd like to thank him very much for being here tonight.
And we would all like to thank you for your service to this country. We're glad you could be here tonight. Yeah, well done, everyone, on those proclamations. So let's see, where are we moving to? We are now going to, we have no presentations this evening, so we're going to move right into our public communications. And this is, any member of the public may address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item within the jurisdiction of this council. We will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Bryan Act, the council cannot act on any items not on the agenda. So if there is an item on the agenda that you would like to speak to, I would ask that you would wait till that item comes up, and I will give you adequate time to address the council then. Does anyone like to address the council under public communications this evening? Can you just come forward? Either one. And just state your name and city of residence for the record.
Hello, my name is David Bellatori. I'm here in Grover Beach. Young man, thank you. My son is also in the armed services, and we are proud. And when he came back on his first deployment, and that was a proud moment. Thank you for your services. Well, Mayor Schultz, thank you. You're always giving me in here a little bit. I actually looked up the word diversity before I came here. When I first came here about 17 years ago, I was in such a, you know, in a cultural shock when I first came here. I really was. I came from a big city, and diversity was huge over there. It was just something I grew up with. Well, anyway, diversity means acceptance, respect, understanding that each individual is unique. I should have worn my glasses. And recognizing that differences such as race, gender, religion, and so on and so on and so on. I believe that there's a window of opportunity that we can walk through it. I really strongly believe that the city of Grover Beach can spearhead or jumpstart a cultural awareness program or cultural awareness event, or get everybody involved. The city of Grover Beach is very diverse. All we have to do is just look, and it's out there.
I really believe that there's qualified people that work here, people that can help, okay? People that can get this thing going. If we do, which I believe the city can do, others will follow. Mm-hmm. I believe that this is the opportunity that we have. I think we need to grab a hold of it and just do it. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Excellent comments, and I'm going to hold off on making comments until after we close public communication. So don't leave yet, David, but let me call the next person up really quick.
My name is Brad Snook. I'm the volunteer coordinator for our county chapter of the Surfrider Foundation. Surfrider Foundation has been asking city councils of Royal Grande, Grover Beach, and Oceano to take on an investigation into the management of our wastewater treatment plant in Oceano. Two weeks ago, the council had John Wallace, the plant administrator, here for a presentation. And I want to thank the council for hearing workers at the plant. And I want to say that Surfrider and myself are very supportive of the workers at the plant. They're one of the reasons that we know change can happen. And during an investigation, if the right questions are asked, we feel like the people at the plant can illuminate a lot of the problems there. However, if there's a management issue, those workers do not have a chance to speak. Mr. Wallace also stated that all contracts greater than $35,000 must go out for bid. In the NOVs, they talk about the operator standard operation procedures. And it says that the SOPs are step-by-step summary of procedures that plant operators must follow in order to ensure compliance with discharge permit. They provide simple and easy procedures for consistent operation and maintenance of the treatment facilities. My impression of the contract that went out and updating the operations manual was that it costs right around $40,000, and there was also $25,000 allocated towards training. I was wondering if that $40,000 billing went out for bid as well. Also, as far as the oversight of the chief plant operator, if he wasn't doing all these things, who his boss was, and why his boss wasn't able to isolate some of the issues that came out on the NOVs, because management oversight is important, and setting goals, most of us are reviewed on an annual basis, and given goals to project our next year towards. So I think updating the NOVs would have been a great goal for this guy. Unfortunately, it wasn't given to him in time. Surfrider continues to ask for an investigation at the plant. We thank Grover Beach for their continual illumination of any problems. We ask you to have Mr. Wallace back soon, and we can continue to ask some good, tough questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Snook. Is there anyone else that would like to address the council doing public communication? The Santa Maria Longport chapter of the NAACP, as well as the Anti-Defamation League, was involved. And so it was a really good event. And I know there was a call for a lot of the cities to start to form a either a diversity panel, I think, or as David suggested, a cultural awareness program. And it sounds like it's really a really good program. I did get an invitation to go speak at Cal Poly to a group on inclusion and diversity, and they are willing to assist in any program that we put together. So it's definitely time to do something like that. And I think When we discuss this a little further later, we'll have to make a decision on how we want to go forward, because I think there's an opportunity, and with willing folks like David out there, I think we certainly can make a difference. And I know that he had talked with the mayor pro tem, and I believe the mayor pro tem had talked with the city manager about revisiting the context of which we do the stone soup, because I think originally it was intended to be more of a celebration of cultural diversity, and we've kind of gotten away from that. So I think there are numerous opportunities around here, and so we will look into that and have a greater discussion sooner rather than later. So, David, thank you for continuing to remind us of that. And we haven't heard anything from the city of Rio Grande, so we will. I will be reaching out to the mayor and to see if there's anything new on that existing situation. But we want to be positive going forward, I think, as you said. So thank you for coming tonight. Okay. So let's keep moving on our agenda. And David, follow up with me and the city manager. He'll know how to get a hold of me, and we can discuss further offline. Okay. We have no public hearings tonight, and then let's move to our consent agenda. And this is an agenda in which we take routine items, and they are considered as a group. So do any members of the council want to remove any items from consent? We have three. One is a treasury report for the period of April 13th to 27th. One is the minutes of the city council meetings of March 7th and 21st of 2011. And the final is records destruction authorization. So if there are no requests to remove any items from consent, I'll accept the motion.
I'll move for staff's recommendation on the consent agenda.
I'll second that.
Okay, very good. If there's no additional discussion, roll call.
Yes.
Yes.
Councilmember Molnar.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Nichols.
Yes.
And Mayor Schultz.
Yes. Okay, let's move on to regular.
And it's here before you tonight. Throughout the last several years, the current state law has been legislated, and it preempts local legislation in a number of areas. These include places of employment, lodging, facilities, schools, health facilities, restaurants, and certain public places. State law, as noted in the staff report, prohibits a public for smoking inside a public building or an outdoor area within 20 feet of a public building and main entrance, exit, or a window of a public building. All of our public buildings are appropriately signed. I attached a copy of that legislation or that law for your information. Additionally, state law also currently restricts smoking near playgrounds within our parks, and those have also been appropriately signed. Just by way of a report, the police department, as noted, is responsible for enforcement. According to Chief Copsey, during the last couple of years, they've responded to 16 calls for service, primarily at the parks, related to incidents of smoking, most of those around the restroom, and those are both adults as well as young people. Young people who are under the age, the smoking age, have been cited, and that has occurred. The park staff also reports that we occasionally get complaints regarding smoking during public events. Primarily, the one that comes to mind is obviously our summer concert series. Staff has, for your information, completed a review of the status of smoking prohibitions among the cities within the county. Several cities have, over the last few years, legislated new laws extending the restrictions, smoking restrictions to public places, including by first priority parks and public further outdoor public facilities. Those cities that have completed that sort of legislation include Arroyo Grande, Pismo Beach, and Atascadero. Atascadero and actually the city of San Luis Obispo have taken it a little bit further. San Luis Obispo recommending body to review exactly how those laws should be extended and applied. I just suggest that if that's something, direction that you want to go in, you might want to refer the matter to them for additional work. The other part about this is that, you know, hopefully the listing of the ordinances that I've included, we have more detail available in my office in the event that you want to see it. But that may give you some other options that you may want to consider. My suggestion is that you review the information as presented and then determine what action to take and provide us with the appropriate direction, and we'll take it from there. That concludes my staff report. Be happy to answer any questions you might have. The chief's here. He might answer questions regarding enforcement, et cetera.
Okay, very good. Any questions of staff? Councilmember Monar.
No questions.
Okay.
Comments.
I have a couple of questions and then a comment. I noticed we did get a letter from a neighbor or a resident in support of, you know, keeping smoking away from small children, which I heartily agree with. I also was in communication with a resident in Grover Beach who wasn't able to come tonight. This gentleman lives over at the corner of 8th and Saratoga. He lives next to a residential care facility, which I believe comes under health facilities here because if they're licensed. And it says 20 feet of a main entrance, exit, or operable window. This gentleman has made complaints before, and he mentioned that there is like a patio area that's surrounded by building on all three sides. The open side is right next to his fence, and the people there come out and they smoke. And he, 5 years ago, had to have heart surgery. And he is not supposed to be within smoking himself. He's not supposed to smoke or be by secondhand smoke. It comes into his backyard and then into his windows. And he was wondering, because we are discussing this tonight, if there's anything that can be done for him, considering that this is a residential care facility. And it does say 20 feet, and these people are smoking within 20 feet of an exit door. So I'm not sure how we can help this gentleman.
I think that's that except as otherwise provided by Section 7597, a public employee or other person may smoke in any outdoor area of a public building unless otherwise prohibited by state law and local ordinance, etc. So if they, for example, have a designated smoking area that is outside in a specified area, they may not be violating any existing laws by that behavior. But, and again, That would be something that we would have to look at if that's the direction that council wishes us to take.
I do recall reading that it did talk about where there is proper draft to remove it or air. I did see that actually when I went online and looked at the California state regulations for smoking.
Yeah, that isn't in this code section, but again, I was presenting what we have before us today, and obviously there are building code and ventilation laws that which you might have been looking at. And yes, there are certain types of businesses that require different types of standards as far as how the area is ventilated. Whether or not that extends to a private smoking area for employees, I'm not certain, very frankly. But again, if it's your direction, we certainly can look into those issues. The existing law provides the department with the ability to enforce in any public places, any public buildings, and within 20 feet of operable windows, exits, and entrances. State law does provide that local agencies have the capability of adopting more stringent requirements if that is the desire of the governing body. So we await your direction.
Okay. And that is, in fact, what your recommendation is to council: review the information and provide some direction as appropriate. Okay. Do you have any other questions?
Oh, that's fine. Thank you.
Great. Any questions? Mayor Pro Tem?
Jeff.
Okay. I don't have any questions, surprisingly. Let me open this up to the public. We do have some members of the public that are here. Is there anyone that would like to address the council on this item?
in California have done. Even health facilities like the one you're speaking of can go smoke-free, and there's actually an ordinance in there that talks about it. It could be the multi-unit common areas so that they can't smoke outside. You can't have that drifting smoke, so that is legal and possible. Many people know about the harmful effects of secondhand smoke, and it's possible not to notice the debris of tobacco litter on our environment. But my main goal is to change the social norms surrounding tobacco use. As a mother myself of two small children, I know that I can only do so much in order to protect them. Tobacco use is a learned and socially mediated behavior. Repeated and ubiquitous tobacco use gives youth the impression that its use is pervasive, normal, and socially acceptable. Tobacco bans send children the message that tobacco use is unhealthy and unacceptable and will save many young lives in the future. We also know that these bans can and will help tobacco users to quit. About 70% of people who smoke would like to stop smoking and have to be around the nicotine makes it not being around the nicotine will help it make it easier for them to quit and do so. I know I've been asked about enforcement. Enforcement usually is easy. It's non-issue, and with education and signage, it's usually not a problem. Usually it's self-enforcing. Even my young 6-year-old son will go up in a Tuscadero and ask people to please not smoke. It's against the law here. We commend the PD here in Grover Beach because they've done such a good job of enforcing the retail licensing ordinance. And because of that, you have one of the lowest illegal sales rate in the county. I believe there's a need and support here for this because as a member of the Stone Soup Music Fair Committee, sponsored by the Chamber of Commerce, they chose to have the fair go smoke-free in 2009. And this will be the third year that it's smoke-free. We're happy to offer you our assistance and our support, and I have given you educational packets that have ordinances, a recreational one, also a comprehensive one similar to what they've done in San Luis Obispo, and lots of other good information. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Great. Thank you, Christy. Jack, come forward, please.
My name is Clint Wyrick. I live on Saratoga Avenue in Grover Beach. So, Mr. Schultz, Mayor Schultz, and members of Grover Beach City Council, first I'd like to extend my appreciation to Karen Bright for bringing up this topic. I believe there's a meeting in March, and is a resident here. I find it extremely important that you move forward in this direction. A lot of people in this county see kind of Grover Beach as a city where people smoke, the family-friendly environment that our community really wants. And if we're trying to promote ourselves to our current residents, potential residents, and visitors, that this is the kind of city that we live in, this is definitely a place that reinforces it. There's other areas that you could consider, too, because overall I've heard people, like one of my friends, he lives here in he was complaining the other day when actually the city manager, Bob Prohl, walked by at High Grounds Coffee, we were having it. He's like, yeah, people are always smoking outside of all these places that I go to within the city. So it definitely is an area to also look into, maybe other areas to expand a potential tobacco restriction. And when I say tobacco, I don't mean just mean cigarettes. I mean smokeless tobacco, too, because if you all have pets, you understand that they eat the stuff off the ground. It's usually not the cigarette butts that they look at first. It's usually that little chewy smokeless tobacco that people have. So I do want to have you all really concerned with moving forward with this and really get an educated viewpoint so that if you can address comprehensively the issues that people are having with tobacco in the city, that'd be a perfect move. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Clint.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else? Seeing that, I'm going to close it to the public and bring it back to the council. And let's have some discussion. Councilmember Bright.
Well, first, I'd like to thank staff for bringing this forward. It's something that we've talked about in the past, and you know, I think it is really important for us as the leaders of the community to endorse basically a smokeless environment. So I would be, I'd really like to take a look at, have us take a look at these other ordinances, sample ordinances, and see where we might go. And include the beach. I mean, Pismo Beach has, they have prohibited smoking on their beach. So what, you step over into Grover Beach city limits and then you can smoke? That just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. So I would like to see it extended to the beach as well. I've seen a little girl pick up an old cigarette butt out of the sand and put it in her mouth. It was just disgraceful. I've stepped on live cigarette butts in the sand. My dog has as well. So I think it's time that we do, and I think we would have support from our community. We do, at least at this meeting anyway. So did I have anything else I needed to say about this? If you just give me one moment. I think that's it. Thank you very much.
Mayor Pro Tem Nichols.
Nothing at this moment.
Okay. Councilmember Peterson.
I appreciate Councilmember Bright for bringing this forward, too, and if I would have taken that step, I definitely support asking Parks and Rec to come back with just to review it and the commission to review it, and I would support a more extensive ban that would, because I have family members who live in condos, and my son can't sleep at night with his dad because the people next door smoke, and he can't keep his window open because the smoke comes in. So I think that we do have situations in the city where maybe we ought to look at being even more stringent. So I think we should maybe go that next step.
Councilmember Monar.
I actually agree with what everyone said tonight. Secondhand smoke is very annoying. I used to work in an office building where the other employees would go down below, and they'd smoke, and it'd come right up into the window where I was. So the wind does carry it. Everyone has a right to be able to work in an environment where they don't have it. They also have a right to where they live, as I mentioned the gentleman earlier. So I really would like the staff to also look into the residential facilities, because they do fall under, I believe, health facilities, because they have to have a license. So if you would pursue that for me, please, I'd appreciate it.
Well, I'm going to take a list, and then we're going to go down and make sure there's a consensus so that we make sure it's a council majority. So I've got your comment, okay?
Thank you.
Did you have anything?
I support having limitations on smoking. I'm not exactly sure where I want to draw the line. And I think one of the things I think we need to keep in mind is the enforcement of whatever we come up with, if we come up with anything. And I think we need to hear from Chief Copsey insofar as our ability to enforce a smoking ban, and to what extent or how far can we go before we put a burden on he and his department that they can't handle. I think that's a very important part of what we're doing.
Okay, very good. So,
excuse me.
Yes.
I was going to ask, I saw that Pismo, the pier and the beach, does anyone know how they enforce it on the beach? Because isn't that all part of state parks too?
Well, I think that's a really good point. I think since we're just giving direction tonight, that's something we can get staff to do further investigation of as we discuss this item further. Sound good? If we're talking about a residential care facility, if it's permitted, and I guess that's something we'll have to discuss. What I want to caution everyone and what I'm concerned about is imposing on someone's rights on their property can get to be very tricky and become very costly. So I think we certainly want to be a city that is fair, that looks at all people who live here, because not, you know, I mean, I've grown up around smokers and others, and I've grown up around people who strongly believe in property owner rights. And so, I mean, I understand on both sides. So I just think and it looks like we have a consensus to move in this direction. So I think we have that consensus. And I believe that I want to make sure everyone's okay, that if we're moving in this direction, that we look at not just public facilities, but I think Councilmember Modar talked about residential care facilities. And I guess we would probably need to take a look and see if it is, you know, what are the definitions and what have others really included something like that. I would also say that the Mayor Pro Tem brings up a really good point, that the police chief would have to quantify what does enforcement look like, what does that cost, because that is a huge part of this. And then we do have to have some discussion about property owner rights and the balance that's struck. Now, I know that's going to be difficult, and I know that we've got limited resources and a lot on our plate. So. Let me just make sure we have consensus to move in this direction with staff further investigating the areas that I've just identified?
Yes.
We okay with that? And I saw City Attorney lean forward. Did you have anything?
Yes, Honorable Mayor, Council Members, just because I want to make sure that staff understands or we're on the same page that the council is with regard to health facilities, and I'm at a bit of a loss. Is your direction for us to investigate if the city can issue regulations that would control private health facilities, that smoking in private health facilities?
That is not my intent, but let me see what the others believe.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, that can all be done as part of the research, but I just want to make sure that I'm looking at the same thing that you want me to look at.
Councilmember Molnar.
I guess the question is whether or not a residential care facility falls under the category of...
There might be state laws that are already applicable to whatever regulations pertain to health facilities or residential care facilities. And is it your direction that we investigate whether the city can issue also regulations in those facilities?
Yes, I would say let's make that the direction, and if we can't, just say we can't. That way we don't belabor the point tonight, because really tonight is about receiving information and giving direction. And yeah. I think everyone needs to understand that staff's going to come back with information, and we'll have a robust discussion at that time, because it will be on the agenda, and we'll probably get to hear from both sides at that time. Okay?
Will staff also comment on individual rights within their own property as to an
yes.
attempt by the city to regulate that?
Well, I don't think we want to regulate that. Anyway, but it says places of employment. So if it's a healthcare facility or a residential healthcare facility, they have employees, I would think. So it is a place of employment. Maybe you could look at it from that respect.
I would just say, just clarification on those items.
We'll do that.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, the only other question I have is to what degree, if any, you would like to have the Parks and Rec Commission involved in the review of any extension to Parks and Rec?
Well, I think you need to come back to us first with all this information so we can, and as a majority, kind of really give you a clearer direction of the focus of this. Is it all public facilities? Is it increasing the state requirement from 20 to 50 feet? Is it a park with only play equipment? I mean, there's all kind of ways to debate and discuss this. So I think you've heard a lot of the concepts and general direction. So we trust you'll come back with the correct information, and if you don't, we'll let you know. That sound good?
Sounds good.
Okay. Okay, let's move on to item number 9, and this is scheduling of a joint City Council Planning Commission workshop to discuss zoning code amendments. Mr. Buckingham.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the council. As you know, the city hired Lisa Wise Consulting to prepare a major zoning code amendment to bring our commercial districts into compliance with our land use element update and our Grand Avenue master plan. In addition, it's a pretty wholesale update. We'll be looking that is a graduation weekend for Cal Poly as well as some of the local high schools. Monday, June 13th is the same week as the Planning Commission meeting, which is on the 14th. Wednesday, June 22nd, that is the same week as the City Council meeting on the 20th. Saturday, June 25th, and Monday, June 27th. So we're asking that the Council give us some direction on setting that joint Planning Commission City Council workshop tonight.
Okay. So I have to say the first thought I had when I read this report was, why do you want a joint meeting? Can't you just do it? What's the purpose of the joint meeting again?
It's a pretty wholesale change of the zoning code. I mean, we're actually going to reformat and renumber it as well. And so the idea was, rather than take a document, we're hoping we're condensing it a little bit, rather than just showing up at a public hearing and start going through those changes, that we would provide that draft to the commission and council at least a week in advance of the workshop, at that meeting then, Lisa and myself would go over those changes as well, so there would be a kind of an understanding of what it is we're talking about. And at that point, getting input, it may be that there are other things that you'd like to look at or tweak, but primarily just to make sure we're all headed in the right direction before we have public hearings.
Okay, so then at this workshop, you would not be looking for the commission and council to take action, more so it would be an introduction of the ordinances and then any additional input?
Correct. I mean, in an informal workshop, and we really want to have discussion. I mean, there's a long history, as you know, of things in our code that haven't worked so well over time, and so anything that would be missed would be the opportunity to make those additions or corrections at that time.
Okay. Any other questions of staff? Councilmember Molnar.
So
I'm like the auctioneer. If you move, you buy it.
So we're going to be there to fine tune this thing before it's presented to the public. Is that what it? Because I mean, otherwise, what's the point of doing it?
Because of the number of changes, it just seemed worthwhile that there'd be some input provided prior to scheduling for public hearings. I mean,
is it comment time yet?
Yeah, why don't you make comments?
Well, I scheduled a week vacation based on the council meetings, so I'm not available for the 22nd, the 25th, the 27th. So my vote would be for the 11th or 13th.
And I'm not here on June 27th either.
Good.
Let me see if there's any questions to my right. Mayor Pro Tem, you have any questions? Councilmember Bright.
No questions. I have a comment. I think it would be worthwhile for me anyway to understand these sweeping changes.
Okay.
If we can get it together.
So we'll have to find the date because I can't participate on June 13th.
Well, I guess that leaves the 11th.
And Saturday, June 11th is my brother's birthday. No.
Sorry.
He loses.
Well, I came prepared. I have a few other alternative dates. The Planning Commission week of the 13th. Wednesday the 15th would be another possibility.
Hold on a sec. So the Planning Commission, when is their regular meeting date?
They are Tuesday the 14th of May.
You said May. You meant June.
I'm sorry, June.
So why couldn't we just use that date? Do you have any other pressing items that would need to be on that agenda?
There will be some items on that meeting. I had not thought about that possibility. I mean, we could...
Because that way, you know, the folks on the commission have already committed to being away from home that evening.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for us, mm-hmm. you know, we get a large stipend, but they don't. Not really, folks. I'm just joking. Gotta keep the light.
Misrepresenting us.
My only thoughts would be we'd probably either want to start the Planning Commission meeting earlier and get that done with, so then we could adjourn to the joint workshop. I'm a little bit unprepared. I don't know how many items we have on for that evening, so...
So, I mean, the question I would have, are the items time-sensitive or are the items that can be moved to a...
Mr. Mayor, one of the things I might suggest is maybe we could go back and revisit that June 14th is if the council is, first of all, available on June 14th. It seems to me that we're far enough in advance of that Planning Commission meeting that we could probably work the schedule so that we accomplish what both the Council and the Planning Commission needs to do.
And so maybe, as Mr. Buckingham said, if there's a way to move their regular meeting forward an hour or so.
Why don't we tentatively go with June 14th we'll talk to the Planning Commission next week, look at our agenda, and if that doesn't work for some reason, we'll return to the next council meeting and figure something else out. If that didn't work.
Why don't you just make it work?
That's my first choice.
Okay.
We'll make it work.
Sounds good.
Okay, so we're going to target June 14th and just report back to us and let us know how it goes. Okay? Okay. We have no pooled consent agenda items tonight. Council committee reports. Does anyone have anything they want to report tonight, or you want to make report next time? So let me start at the top. Councilmember Bright.
No, thank you.
Councilmember Monar.
Nope.
Councilmember Peterson.
Nope.
Mayor Pro Tem Nichols.
I would like to make only one comment. The Public Works, County Public Works Department held a session in Oceano Saturday for all of the residents in Oceano relating to the flooding and storm damage that occurred as a result of the December storms. I was a little disappointed. It was not well attended. There were probably no more than residents from Oceano, probably no more than 12, 14 people showed up for it. And the county set this whole thing up. They had displays up. They had personnel there. They had flood people there. Sanitation District had a display up. John Wallace was there to talk to all of those people that had concerns about the sanitation plant. And very few people showed up. It was, to me, it's rather disappointing. Mm-hmm. You hear a lot of complaints, and you set something up like this, and basically the only people that did show up were the same people that show up at the Oceano Community Service District.
Oh, that was part of a recent study that was done. One of the things that's being done in the interim is a relocation of the South County Maintenance Facility, which is in Grover Beach on Farrell Road, and moving it to county property in the city of Rio Grande on a short-term basis, I think like a five-year plan. And the reason they want to do that is it's a unique opportunity to increase the size of the facility as well as to store the five South County buses plus, I believe, two or three of the buses that are for Route 10 that goes up and down the freeway. But the drivers who work in South County and the SCAT would in fact continue to report to that facility. They would not have to go into San Luis Obispo to get their assignment, so they would be a supervisor at the facility. So I wanted to make sure you were aware of that. The other thing is, so at some point in this summer, probably there will be a discussion before the board about making an adjustment to some of the transit routes in Grover Beach. No, a route change in North Grover is not contemplated, but there are opportunities for efficiencies on, I think, Route 23. And I don't want to go into a lot of description about Route 23, but I know that right now it's got hour headways, and so by making some changes, we can increase frequency to about 30 minutes or so. So it looks like there are some improvements. The Five Cities Fire Authority, the board just gave Chief Hubert the direction to retain the services of a firm that can go out and do some polling, because as many of you probably know, it's now a joint powers authority, and there has been a long-term plan to make it a district that may have some ability to generate revenue so it becomes self-sustaining and self-sufficient. So those efforts are in fact underway, and so I believe he's gone out and gotten some proposals, and we'll be bringing that information back to the board at the, I want to say, either the meeting in later meeting later this month or in June. So what does that mean to Grover Beach? Depending on who they bring on, depending on the results of the polls, this could down the road become a positive to the city's general fund, but we're going to have to investigate that further. And so I will keep you all informed as I get new information. Okay? So let's see. City Council member items, we have none at this time. Council communications. Anyone have anything?
I have one.
Mayor Pro Tem Nichols, you have anything you want to do on communications?
No.
Thanks. Let me see to my left. No?
I do.
Okay. Councilmember Mona.
I want to clear the record here.
The Coast News in the April 28th to May 4th talked about our smart meter debate, and they put me down as a dissenting vote, and I was not. So I just wanted to make that clear that I was not the dissenting vote. Thank you.
Duly noted.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
That's really funny.
We're doing good tonight, so I'm going to wait. I'll hold my comment. The only thing I did want to bring up is you saw David De La Torre come here this evening, very passionate about a cultural awareness program. And what I'm going to do is I will just write a memo to the city manager and ask that something be put on a future agenda, that we explore the possibility of a cultural awareness program, creating a subcommittee to explore the type of community, the membership, and certainly in interfacing with Cal Poly. So I'm not looking for consensus tonight. I just wanted to let you all know I'm going to try and be a little more formal in the things that we ask staff to bring forward for us to, as a consensus, put on a future agenda. So I'm going to try and do that by the next meeting so that we don't waste too much time and we do take advantage of this window that he had talked about. Okay. And then the other thing is, this Friday night, the Channel County's Division, League of California Cities, is having its quarterly business meeting and dinner in San Luis Obispo at the PAC. So, has everyone been made aware of that? And B, is anyone planning to attend this Friday?
Okay. Am I the soul?
No,
I'll be there.
I heard you three were going. I figured we were well represented.
Well, they're going to give a tour of the Performing Arts Center right here prior to social hours. So.
I have a previous commitment. I'm going to the mother-son dance with my son as volunteers.
Well, as well you should. Okay. So we are good on that. City manager reports and comments.
Yes.
Item number 10.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, this will be hopefully relatively short. One of the things that I failed to do when I presented budget options to you at the last meeting was to identify dates for budget meetings. We are working on the revisions per the council's direction and believe it might be appropriate.
Okay. So basically you're recommending the dates of May 23rd and 25th.
Right.
I think I checked my calendar and it works for me. Anyone else? Do those 2 days work?
My son has a performance that night, so I was hoping it might not work for other people too. But
So we'll be thinking of you.
Yeah. The budget's important, so I think his father...
Which night, Debbie?
The 23rd is not a good night.
That's a Monday?
Yeah. But I can do it if there's no alternative.
Well, okay. Hold on. Are there any other nights that week that work for the group?
The 24th is better for me, but...
Are you able to make the 25th?
Yeah. I have another commitment with my son, but that one we can miss. That's a regular commitment. The 23rd is a special event, so... Can miss the odd regular thing if we need to.
Okay. And Bob, the 30th is too close because if we've got consensus, you want to have time to prepare the report for.
Yes, sir. And it's also Memorial Day, I believe. The traditional holiday happens to fall on May 30th this year.
Oh, dear.
Okay. So, Debbie, you're saying the 25th is...
25th would be preferable to me to the 23rd. Or the 24th would be preferable to the 23rd.
How does the 24th look for everyone?
I didn't check the 24th, so I don't know.
I didn't either. I'm going to see if I can figure it out. I can't do it in this short...
So why don't we at least plan... Let's plan on the 25th.
Yes.
Let's see how much progress we can make, and then we can find another day if we need to.
Thank you. I appreciate that, and my son appreciates it.
Well, we'd like you to be involved, and we definitely want you to have time with your son. So.
Thanks.
So we're going to go with the 25th, and depending on our progress, we'll see if we need to have a another day. Sound good?
Uh-huh.
Do I need a motion on this one, City Attorney?
No.
Okay, great. Then we're good. At this point, I'm going to recess the regular meeting of the Grover Beach City Council because we do. Okay. Seeing none, I'm going to close it and bring it back. And let's move into this is our Improvement Agency Consent Agenda. This is item IA1. And this is including minutes for several meetings, including a joint City Council Improvement Agency meeting of February 22nd, 2011, an Improvement Agency meeting of March 7th. 2011, as well as minutes from a March 21st, 2011 meeting. So do any member of the agency want to pull any item from consent?
No.
Okay.
I'll make a motion that we accept the agenda as presented.
I'll second that.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. If there's no additional discussion, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? None. Motion carries. So then let's move into our improvement agency business. This is item IA2, and this is a transfer of agency funds to the West Grand Avenue Enhancement Project Phase 2. Mr. Ray.
Good evening, Honorable Chair and Agency Board. I'm Gregory Ray, the Public Works Director for the City of Grover Beach. Tonight's item includes adoption of a resolution to transfer agency funds to the West Grand Avenue Enhancement Project Phase 2. Brief background, in fiscal year 2011, the City of Grover Beach approved a budget of $100,000 of agency funds for design of the West Grand Avenue storm drain project. Unfortunately, to this date, there are no funds currently identified for construction of that project. A new development, however, has occurred, and that is that the SLOCOG staff, or board rather, recently voted to add additional funds in the amount of $300,000 to supplement STIP TE funds for the West Grand Avenue Enhancement Project Phase 2. We now have a total of $583,000 plus the $300,000 in additional supplemental funds for the West Grand Avenue Enhancement Project Phase 2. Because of the immediate availability of the grant funding for this project and because of the lack of funding for the other project, staff is under the opinion that it's expedient and prudent to move the design funds from the storm drain project to the West Grand Avenue Enhancement Project Phase 2. So the recommendation this evening is that the agency adopt the attached presentation.
Great. Nice staff report. Let's see if there's any questions. Any questions to my left? Councilmember Moner.
So is there still a storm drain project?
Greg? Will there still be a storm drain project?
I think, yes. Staff remains committed to eventually designing and constructing a storm drain project. As a component of this design effort, it is anticipated that we may be able to develop or to design at least one segment of the new storm drain, that being a segment between 4th and 5th Street.
So when we work on the enhancement, then we will be doing the storm drain at the same time?
No, there are no funds available for construction of the storm drain project at this time.
So later we'll just have to tear it up again?
No.
No.
The West Grand Avenue Enhancement Project primarily focuses on street improvements between 8th and 11th Streets on West Grand Avenue. And the storm drain project has to march up in order from 4th Street all the way up. So the first block, if it could be constructed, would start at between 4th and 5th Street.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Any questions? Councilmember Bright.
Yes, please. So then you're saying we have $883,000 total to put towards this project?
That's correct.
Plus
100,000 for design, I guess.
For design.
If we
okay.
Agree.
Swell. Okay, thank you. Question again?
Yes, Councilman Warner.
So we need to, why do we need to move over 100,000 if we already have 853?
Do you want to, what's your answer?
Be happy to answer. The funds that are identified in tonight's staff report are STIP TE funds. That's a State Transportation Improvement Program Transportation Enhancement Funds, and RSHA funds, and I'll probably miss that acronym, but regardless, the two funding sources, grant funding sources, are not designated for design. They have to be used for construction only.
All right, thank you.
That's my understanding as well. So Greg, I did want to, so basically $300,000 under the step, $583,000, which is more transportation enhancement funds. So we know the 583 is restricted to enhancements, not necessarily for paving and what we would consider normal 8th and 11th, pretty much to match what's there. And so if there's a way to use some of that money for the resurfacing, I think it helps us in our general fund and our street budget. The other thing I wanted to ask is I thought we had about $100,000 that was left from the 9th Street Ramona project.
And I thought we had, excuse me, Mr. Mayor, I thought we
had talked possibly of moving that actually to Long Branch.
Okay, and that's the discussion you had with Slocop.
Right.
Oh, okay. And then I know it's too soon to tell, but Greg, do you know if there'll be any dollars left from the West Grand Avenue spot repair project?
I don't think it's too soon to tell, and I don't think there'll be much left.
Okay. Hey, I'm just
unfortunately
looking at every rock and every piece of gravel. So, okay. So what is the timing as far as, and I know this is a little off topic, but I just want to get a sense of the timing for when we would expect the design to occur, when that might be complete, and when we might be able to move into a construction phase.
We're aiming to have the design done by the end of the fiscal year.
Okay, so by June 30th, correct?
Okay. That's our goal, definitely.
That's a good goal. That means construction can occur anytime shortly after that. Okay. And then you had talked about being able to design a portion of the storm drain from 5th to 6th, right? Or 4th to 5th.
Fourth
to 5th.
Yeah, we're going to, part of the last part of the design phase of this project, you know, the medians are pretty well designed already. Mm-hmm. And so we're working on the last portions of design between 8th and 11th. A component of that design is includes some options to, if there's additional design funds available, to design a portion of the storm drain and to design medians starting from 4th and working our way toward 8th.
Gotcha. So we would be able to extend the existing project one block east.
Sure.
Sounds good. Okay, great. I think we're heading in a really good direction. And let me open this up to the public and see if there's anyone from the public that would like to address the council or improvement agency on this item. Okay, seeing none, I'm going to close it. I'm going to bring it back to meeting and then reconvene the regular meeting of the Grove Beach City Council. And I think we had left off. City Attorney, any reports or comments?
None, thank you, Mayor.
And can you, while you've got the mic, address our closed session item this evening?
Certainly. Honorable Mayor, Council members, it is the intention of the City Council to meet closed session on one item tonight, and that would be conference with labor negotiations pertaining to one represented employee group, which is SEIU.
Thank you, City Attorney. So we are, in fact, going to recess and convene in the conference room for closed session.